All right, everybody, can you please take your seats? We'd like to start. Hello. Hope you enjoyed your lunch and the vendor session. Before we begin, I'd like to point out the letters and numbers of those who are keeping track for your CEUs. The sign is number 4, and your sign-out letter is number C. If you need any assistance during the lecture, please do not hesitate to call me, Diane or Diane, and I think I got everybody. So those individuals who are earning their CEU credits, please look through your evaluations and fill out the form, please. We're so grateful to TIC, the Talking Information Center Network, who is recording some of our sessions today, including this one. So we are being recorded. Please know that our voice recording for this session and copy of PowerPoints will be available later on the Focus website. In the Vision, Focus on Vision and visionloss.org. And we're grateful for Marie and Meg for sharing their work in this way with us for your continuing learning. It is now my pleasure to formally introduce Marie Hennessy, who has a BA and an MS from New England Ski for Light, and Meg Robertson, BSMA, COMS, Director of OMN Department of Massachusetts Commission of the Blind. We are so appreciated for Marie and Meg's collaboration efforts in this presentation. In addition to preparing this presentation, Meg serves on the Executive Conference Committee and co-coordinates with Lisa the MCB DDS Partnership Project, and will appreciate all her extra time and efforts. Meg and Marie will be presenting recreation, improving quality of life outcomes, and how to have fun by building new skills. Please welcome me and join Marie and Meg.
Thank you so much for this opportunity today, and we've discussed the first slide as presented, and it's really important to think about all of our quality of lives and those who we serve every day. And everybody likes to have fun, and we all like to learn new things and new skills. So we all have something right in common to begin with. So recreation is pleasurable and enjoyable activities for everybody. And this is during our leisure time, which I know some of us are very busy and we don't have a lot of leisure time, but when we do, we really want to think about not only ourselves, but those people that we're working with, that you serve in so many different capacities that are here today. And we really want to think about the idea that recreation and leisure time is something that everybody needs to do. And we need to help people get introduced to it if they've not. So for some people, it's doing something sedentary, sitting down and doing something that they really enjoy. For many other people, it's doing an active thing, something, an activity, something where people are active. So what about the importance of recreation? Of course, it improves quality of life for everybody. But for many people that we're all working with every day, it provides a lot of other things that maybe we don't always think about. We take a lot of things for granted because we can do most things that we want to do. We know how to find out the information, and we can just go there and do it. But for a lot of the clients and individuals that we service, that is not the case, so we want to think about that. For people, it increases people's self-esteem. And it provides really, really good, healthy outcomes. It helps also to relieve stress, and that's for everybody. But, you know, a lot of people that aren't used to doing new things and introduce new things, their stress level could be greatly, greatly decreased by trying some new things, being introduced to things that they never, or many people ever thought they could do. Having the opportunity to make friends, okay? And I think that's really, really important. There's so many people that I meet in my daily work, in both at Mass Advocates Standing Strong and the Epilepsy Foundation, don't have a lot of friends. So what a great way to make friends, by getting out there, getting involved in doing things, and learning new social and physical skills. How great is that? We all can do that. But for people that aren't used to it, it's really, really is going to enhance the quality of life. And this other piece here, becoming involved in your community, what a great way to get out there and do things and get to know people in your community and have people get to know you, people, you know, people that you service, and have them realize that, you know, we're all the same. We might do things a little bit different, but we all like to do the same things.
Okay, fitness and activity. There was APH had a table out in the front foyer. I hope people got to it. There's a lot of resources from the American Printing House for the Blind that people can access. But they have a quote from their Walk, Run for Fit program. Is to be fit is to be independent in your daily activities, being able to do everything you want, you need, without extra physical help or having to rest before finishing the task. It could be as simple as getting up and getting something from the kitchen, being able to do that task without having to sit down in between that. So it varies from physical activity of where the person is and what kind of physical activity they can do. They don't have to run a mile. The Surgeon General recommends every day moderate physical activity for at least 30 minutes for adults. Everybody can do 30 minutes for adults. We don't do it, but we can do that if we so choose and put it into our schedule. Okay, slide 5, Marie.
No, 12 is the next one I have.
No, slide, why do we need recreation? Oh, is that me?
Yep.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
We haven't done this since March somewhere, so we're a little bit out of practice here. Okay, why do we need active recreation? U.S. has the highest level of obesity in the world. Children and adults do not move anymore. We drive, or we are driven to places. We don't walk. And screen time has taken over outdoor time. And that's one of the big changes in the U.S. today in regards to how we get around or how we don't get around. Movement is an essential component of a healthy, happy life. There are limited recreational opportunities for individuals with visual impairments to take part in outdoor recreational activities for pleasure or sport. Movement is a sensory experience. And this is a quote by Myra Runyon, who is a TVI, and she was the first legally blind person to run in the regular Olympics, not the Paralympics. It's limited for people with visual impairments. It's even more limited with people with visual impairments and intellectual disabilities. Unless it's something that somebody else sets up for somebody, most individuals that you work with don't do any kind of recreational activity. We want the individuals that we work with to move freely within the environment, solve problems, communicate, and optimize social and vocational relationships. And this relates to the speaker this morning, who talked about friendships, who talked about social relationships, even more so than social skills. If you're doing something fun, you have more of an ability to interact with other people around you in a positive manner. And then we also want our individuals to learn continuously. Just because you're an adult doesn't mean that you can't learn a new skill. One of the things that people talk about is your brain can rewire itself all the time, no matter how old you are. If you're 90 years old or you're 60 years old, if you have a stroke, your brain can rewire itself. Maybe not to the extent that you were before the stroke or the issue, but it can always rewire. So there's never something that you can't always stop doing. You may have to learn how to do it a different way. Okay, adults with vision loss learn best by doing, not by showing, but by doing. And adults with vision loss don't get a lot of exercise. People just with vision loss and people with intellectual disabilities just don't always get a lot of exercise. They miss a lot of concepts. Is because visually you see a lot of things, you understand a lot more things, and you just don't get the concepts. And they don't realize what they don't know. If someone's taking you for a walk in the woods, you're going with somebody, usually a person's not describing what you're going. You're just moving through space. There's no description unless someone asks a question. Oh, what's that smell? What's that bird? What's that bush I just brushed by? If it's not explained well, we assume that people kind of know what's going on, even if they have, especially those people with limited vision or have vision, you may think they're picking up things visually. And that's not always true. So we have to be aware of when we're taking people on recreational activities that we're giving more descriptions and more ability for them to understand what's going on. And that may be more tactile, that you're bringing someone over to something and they can feel it and get maybe a more variety of a concept. Okay, my observations as an orientation and mobility specialist is the best travelers seem to be those who have been very active in their lives. And any time someone who has really, really good orientation and mobility skills, usually it's somebody who grew up, was very active, or even as a blind kid, was very active, was able to run and do a lot of things. Their parents let them experience a lot of things outdoors. They became good orientation and mobility travelers, good spatial orientation concepts, good concepts of how the world was set up. However, active does not mean you have to be super blind. Some of you may have heard of Michael May. He does a lot of skiing with a guide. He's very active. Trevor Thomas hikes the Appalachian Trail with his guide dog. He's totally blind. He also does the PAC in California. Eric Weinmeier, he's climbed Mount Everest. Randy Pierce spoke here a number of years ago. He hikes the Appalachian Trail. Myra Runyon, who's an Olympic runner, and Dan Kish, who also does a whole lot of active hiking. I'm not talking about those people. I'm not those people. Though I've hiked the Appalachian Trail, parts of it. We're not talking about that. That doesn't mean you have to go to that level. There's all different types of being active. The big thing is to keep moving. As we age, we need to keep moving. Okay, this is still me. Okay. Older adults. Studies have indicated that recreation is a area of vital importance to older adults with vision loss. And again, we heard this morning about losing your friendships as you age. If you're staying home, you're not getting out, you disconnect from your friendships. And the more you move, the more you're able to get out and do things, the more you can maintain those friendships. There's a study, the Good Study from 2005, and said recreation was the activity most highly correlated with positive life satisfaction for older people with vision loss. So if people were out doing things, they were happier and they were more sociable. And that kept the quality of life much better for them. Fall risk for older adults. We talked a little bit about that also this morning. Is if you stop moving, and I think that may have been in the PT-OT O&M segment, but if you stop moving and you start walking around because you're afraid of falling, that increases your risk of falling. So there's different activities that folks can do, even if they're not moving around a lot or have ability of they don't want to go for a walk. But there's Tai Chi, yoga, just simple walking, fall prevention exercises, matter of balance programs, which are in your community. There's a lot of different matter of balance programs. And I want to tell you a little story about a matter of balance program. We had orientation mobility people from the Commission for the Blind become matter of balance trainers. And at one of the groups that they started is, it was with a low vision group in Lowell. And they, at the end of the session, they requested some additional orientation mobility training. And they knew they had been taking the elevator up to the floor that they had to go to. And the orientation mobility specialist, well, you know that. She said, no, we need to take the stairs. You told us we need to be walking up and down the stairs. And so they learned the route to walk up and down the stairs to get their steps in. And they started going together to a gym to keep their balance and start being physically active, which they never did before, which was really a positive outcome for that program. And it just exposed people more. I can do this. I don't have to be one of the, you know, busy, active, blind people. I can do a lot of the simple stuff. Inclusive or not inclusive. And again, this is where we run into trouble. And the doctor this morning talked kind of about this, is YMCAs, they can be inclusive. You can go out and work with people that one-to-one, so your personal trainers. Not sometimes there's groups for people with similar disabilities through the YMCA program. Local recreation departments, they don't do a lot of things for our folks. But maybe if they were approached and or some of our folks could participate in some of the recreational activities if they've been previewed and work with the instructor on how to present the activity to the person with visual impairment or intellectual disability. Sometimes you have to do a modeling and you have to work with the individual teacher or whatever, because they say, oh no, I can't do that. I can't, you know, you all know that. It's like, you know, I can't deal with that person. They're usually willing to do it if they feel confident and someone has given them some instruction. Yoga programs are a great place for people to develop a spatial orientation of their bodies. They're very simple activities. You can go very simple or you can very strenuous. Yoga, I go to yoga class. It's a very simple, calming yoga class. I don't do the hot yoga. I don't do the whatever the hard yoga is. I do the nice, calm yoga. There's a whole variety of different options. And if one thing doesn't work, try another instructor or try another way of doing it and working with people.
And also, just to add to that, what Meg's saying, which is really important, many of us that are blind and visually impaired are very familiar and comfortable working with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and could offer assistance in terms of working with some of these people at the Y programs or some of the staff if people needed some advice or just maybe the people need somebody to talk to say, yes, you can do it. And if it's coming from somebody with a similar disability, that really works a lot.
Yeah. Some of the non-exclusive, I guess, or exclusive, I'm not even sure, Special Olympics is getting, starting someone with a Special Olympics program and having them teach them the skills, and then they may be able to graduate to a more inclusive community activity that they learn the skill through Special Olympics. There are adaptive recreation programs throughout the community and or state, but you have to look for them. And again, you may have to start looking at developing it on your own. Steve Jordan, who won the award today, he started a bunch of, and I'm going to talk a little bit about his programs later, but he started a bunch of different recreational programs to get his folks that he works with more integrated in the community. Blind sports.
So, blind sports. And again, as you can see from this picture, this person is running and she's being tethered by somebody who's acting as a guide. And that's how many of these different activities really work. Tandem biking. Again, I love tandem biking. And I love it because I'm doing exactly the same thing as the person in the front or the back of the bike, depending on which bike I'm riding. The only thing I'm not doing is steering, and that's probably a good thing. But I am pedaling, so it's the same thing. We're doing all the same thing. Another one that a lot of people are doing is goalball. And again, it's an active sport where people are doing a sport that is using a ball, going back and forth, and it takes a lot of work. There are some people that are very skilled at teaching it, and we just always want to encourage people to just try new things.
There's also a beeper ball organization in Massachusetts. It's international, really. It's been around since 1976. It's it's not professional, but they're, I mean, they're pretty good athletes. And they have their practices around here, mainly in Watertown area, which I have yet to make one to. But it's a great thing to get people to go to and listen to what's going on and seeing how they adapted baseball to beeper ball. And you can develop your own leagues if you wanted to. Small leagues are more or less professional.
Many years ago, actually, we had a league, and it was a baseball league, and we used a bat and a ball, and we had a couple of people. We were all visually impaired and blind, and we had a couple of people, of course, to pitch and give us directions. We had the bases, the rubber bases on the ground, which is what we always used to use at Perkins, and we loved it. Sunday morning, like who likes to get up early on Sunday morning, right? We were all there, no matter what, because we loved it, and we had a great time.
For their orientation mobility specials in the area, or for routes or goals that you can think of, some people that might need orientation mobility, recreation is you do the route planning. That's very important. How do I get from home to the place, transportation, walking, or whatnot, is getting around the area or the site within that, wherever the recreation activity is going to. We've gone to many a gym and oriented someone to a gym. I've been to a couple of different Ys and done orientation mobility. And for O&M, there's a lot for recreation issues. There's a lot of learning spatial and body concepts. So it's very integrated in orientation and mobility.
So I'm going to talk about New England Regional Ski for Light, but that's not exclusive to many other programs that are out there. And as you can see in this picture, for those that may not be able to see, we're getting ready to hike Zeeland Falls, and I'm giving everybody directions as to what we're going to do to get started. And, again, not everybody can do things at the same level. So we usually have, at that particular hike, we had three different levels of people. Some people made it to the top. Some people made it a good part of the way, and some people made it for a little bit of distance, did a nice easy path, but they were out. We were all enjoying the day together, and we had a great day. The next picture here that we're seeing is cross-country skiing, and again, with that, we have the first time I cross-country skied, I had never done it before. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and it was cold outside, but whatever. I was, again, orienting the person to the thing that they're going to be doing. They showed me what the skis were like. They showed me how to put the boots on. They explained to me about the poles. They explained to me about everything. And the next thing I knew, I was standing on the skis and gliding along, and they said, "All right, Marie, here's the hill." And I'm like, okay. And I went down, and maybe I didn't make it all the way down without maybe stopping for a fall. But what did I do? Did I stop? No, I got right back up and did it again and have loved it ever since. But it was with a guide, a person that was trained, that was patient and kind, and I will say, Meg was on the hike with us, the Zeeland hike, and if you want to meet somebody that's patient and kind and gives great directions, there you are. So that's what we do. And that's why one of our first slides said having fun and learning new skills. The snowshoeing, again, you can see for those of you that can't, somebody is snowshoeing. And snowshoeing is something whereby it can be very independent, because you're walking in the snow and you can use poles, or some people need more guidance. Some people like to snowshoe in the real hard, deep snow on, you know, high, going up big hills and everything. Some people just want to stay in the flats. But again, they're out there and we're doing it. And just to note, that in January and March of this year, when we had our two ski for light trips, they were the two coldest days of the year. Everybody went out. Everybody went out. So there's a lot of hardy souls out there, and because you're with your friends and you're doing something you love.
I just want to interject. If people like to go hiking or whatnot, the winter is a great time to go hiking because you don't have to deal with rocks, roots, or whatnot. The snow is packed down enough. Snowshoeing is walking, just a wider stance. It's really easy. It's perfectly great to guide, I'll tell you that, as a guide for snowshoes. I won't guide for cross-country skiing because I'm not a good cross-country skier. So I'd be watching out for myself rather than the person I'm guiding. But if you want to start on activity, going out in the winter is a great one because you're not, if there's a lot of snow, there's not a lot of obstacles. So, and also if it's not icy, people fall, it's not a big deal. So I recommend going out in the winter and getting people exposed to the winter, you know, on decent weather, but your 30 degree days or 10 degree days with no wind, they're the same. It's really a great activity to do, to go out, and snowshoeing, anybody can do it that's not using a wheelchair. I see no reason for doing snowshoeing.
And again, we would be available if somebody wanted to learn more about it or get involved. And you know, individuals that aren't here that might be wanting to be introduced to some of this, if they have questions, we would certainly be available for that as well.
Next thing's kayaking, Marie.
Yeah. Now, again, I don't know how many people are into kayaking, but, again, this is something that many people love to do, and it's a great water sport. It's something that you can either do in a single kayak and a double kayak. At first, I always thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to need somebody in that kayak with me. But then somebody said to me one time, Marie, would you like to be in a single kayak and we'll just give you directions? And I said, sure, I'd like to try it. But being in a double kayak with somebody that's never done it before and giving them the instruction as to how to hold your paddles, putting some tape on the paddles so you know where to hold them, just taking it easy, and being out there in the water, it's lovely. It's a wonderful, wonderful summer, activity. Rock climbing. There, in this picture, there's somebody rock climbing on an indoor rock wall. And the first time I did that, I was at a camp and, it was with kids and they're like, oh, Marie, you're going to do that? And I'm like, yeah. And I went up the wall and I went down and they said, you know, because you could do that, I'm going to try it. And I felt so good. There's also rock climbing where you can do it, climbing up a mountain. I did that last year and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. It's not for everybody, but even if somebody could get up, you know, two rocks and feel good about that, you know, you're belayed and you're, you know, safe and everything like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, getting up to the top of anything. Just the feeling of it to say, I did something new and I enjoyed it.
Okay, the next picture is one of our Ski for Light participants in last two summers ago, a hike I went on. And we didn't notice this rock on the way up. But coming down, it kind of slapped us in the face going, wow, there's a tree growing out of a big giant boulder. Boulder's underneath it and the tree is above it. And, so all the people, because it's all the same colors, not a lot of contrast, we brought everybody over because we have some people who are totally blind, but we had a lot of people that had vision, but we tried to describe it, we couldn't give it to them to describe it. So we had everybody walk around and check it. And, I forgot her name. That's taking the picture. Shelley. And everybody, one thing that people remember is that hike on that tree with the rock. It was pretty, pretty cool. And that was a great experience because most people don't, you know, unless you're up in New Hampshire, you don't find rocks like that with trees growing on top of them. And it was really, really fun. I'm going to talk a little bit about MAP Community Services. What Steve Jordan did is he started a recreational group with his group at Mass Association for the Blind. And he started taking, because he's a football coach, he started taking a bunch of his folks who wanted to go was to the football games and the practices and whatnot. So they'd be sitting along and watching the game. And even though they're not participating, they're being a part of this activity. So it can be passive activity as well as active activity. I recommend active activity, but this is a way to get connections for the community in regards to participating within a community setting. When everybody came off after a win, the math folks were there to cheer them on and clap and give them high fives, and they felt a really big part of that community of a high school football game, which until that time, I'm sure no one had participated in a high school football game. Like all of us, probably in high school, we at least went to one football game, even though some of us didn't know what was going on. And then participation could take on different levels. This gentleman is one of the MAV clients, and he sung the national anthem. He was asked, would you come and talk and sing the national anthem? Now, if Steve hadn't brought his group there and they started participating and interacting, he would never have got that opportunity to sing the national anthem at the game. And there is a MAB Move Field Day on Facebook. You can go check, and they did a whole activity. Ended up, they had to move it inside because it was pouring rain, but it was a really good activity of introducing different activities for everybody to participate in. Also, a few years ago, we had a speaker here from Dive Heart, and they went down to Wrentham Developmental Center, and they used the pool, and they gave everybody who wanted to participate experience in the pool scuba diving, which is pretty cool because I've done it in a pool. It's really, really fun. I was very jealous. And Steve was able to get one of his folks. She wanted to go up until they got to the pool, and she didn't want to go. And he was really disappointed because he knew she'd love it. And he was able to take the time, patient, get her in, say, okay, try this, try that. And she did it. And it was a great experience for her, and it was a really positive self-esteem experience for her. So it was just something that, you know, sometimes you need a lot of patience. Sit skiing, for those people who have trouble walking or can't walk long distances, there's adaptive skiing. And this gentleman, this is also another map picture of Steve pushing a gentleman outside. He's getting him outdoors. They have him bundled up because it is cold. But they're able to go longer distances with them pushing it. And it's like also sledding, which some people never had the opportunity to go sledding, as we did as growing up. There's different types of walking routes. You don't have to be going out all the time for a hike. You can go mall walking. There's a lot of different mall routes that you can do in the mall. Recreational walking route around your community or around the block or whatever. Hiking, it can be a paved road, it can be a fire road, it can be a rocky path, it can be steep or gradual or flat. There's different varieties of it. And everybody works at their own different pace. So that's something, you don't have to be going climbing a mountain the first time you go hiking. You start slow and then you try to build it up. And sometimes it's nicer to go with a one-to-one or a one-to-two to get people that you're not just moving people along in a big, huge group. Everybody's able to participate and everybody's having an experience rather than just moving in a big, huge group.
Sometimes there are, I was thinking about this last night when I was preparing for today. I had been at the epilepsy walk on Saturday because I work there. And I was thinking about, gee, this would have been a great opportunity for a lot of individuals that you might work with or you might know, who they could have been out there, and even if the weather wasn't, ideal, but, you know, even just some people just walked around once. Some people just walked a little bit because that's all they could do. But they had food there, they had a DJ, they had a lot of nice people to talk to, and again, another social opportunity. I mean, there's so many walks, so many different places we hear about all the time. Just getting out there and saying, hey, you know, this is going on. And, you know, let's go. And I think encouraging people to say, you know, I'd like to go. You know, if you're a staff person or, you know, a family member or somebody, and if they see, you know, that somebody else might like to go, they're going to say, well, gee, maybe I might try it. Maybe hesitate a little bit. But if you're encouraging people, they're going to feel encouraged and they're going to want to try it.
We did a white cane geocaching event. I'm not going to explain geocaching. But what we did is we had a number of people who are visually impaired. This happened in New Hampshire, and a number of people who do geocaching who are sighted. And we brought them together so they could experience working with people with visual impairment, and the people with visual impairment who never geocached got to learn about a new activity to go in the woods. And this was a really cold, cold, bitter day. I would not have gone if I hadn't been one of the coordinators. I was just like, oh, God, I hate this weather. It was really, really cold and raw. We did it 2 weeks in a row, same type of weather, and we had this many people show up. So it was a really nice integrated activity that we introduced people to different communities. And, you know, hopefully we'll do it again. This was a white cane event we did in October. Okay.
So, again, you know, really the importance of how to get people involved. And if you look in your community, or you look at some of the websites that are out there for people with disabilities. There's an event coming up. The DCR is having an event in a couple of Saturdays in June at Artisani Park. And they have all different kinds of equipment there. People could see all the different things that they have. It's a fun day. There's all kinds of people there that are just wanting to show people what's out there and what they can do. So think about that, and think about also reaching out to us and reaching out to the different programs. There's another program that I am involved with as well, and they're always welcoming new people, Adaptive Sports Partners of the North Country. It is in New Hampshire, yes, but there's opportunities for people to go up for a weekend and do almost any activity you want, whether you're in a chair, whether you need to use a sit ski, whether you need to, you have an oxygen tank, it doesn't matter. They'll assist anybody and offer guidance and guide people, whatever they need. And I, have been involved with this since its inception. I'm going to be looking forward to, being a part of a team. And we're going to be hiking up the Mount Washington Road in August. So there's just so many things out there. And because some people don't have the ability or knowledge or know how to get involved, it's really up to us as providers and teachers and any service providers that are here. It's really up to kind of us to get the ball rolling and get started.
So in some of the things that Marie talked about, there's a handout that's going around that has all this information in there. But Adaptive Sports Partners of North Countries, Marie talked about Waypoint, spelled wrong, Adventures. There are sensory trails with Mass Audubon, which are really nice trails to go in. And there's stuff that's in Braille or trailing. There's different ways of they've adapted it. Special Olympics Massachusetts is a resource. Spalding Adaptive Sports Center. Universal Access Program through the Department of Conservation and Recreation, DCR. And they had a table out here. They have adaptive equipment. If you have an event that's going on and you want to try adaptive equipment, if they can facilitate it, they will facilitate it. They also have scheduled events. I get on their list. They have it all around the state. They're based in Amherst, but they come all the way here east. And again, if you want a event, if they can facilitate, they will come and bring the different equipment.
And they'll also bring guides too.
Pardon?
They'll also bring guides too.
And they'll bring guides too. And they're the ones who are having the big fair in, is it June?
June
in Brighton. So the one thing I want to talk about really quickly is, again, the Mass Commission for the Blind quota account through the American Printing House for the Blind. That has a lot of different recreational activities that you can do. A lot of it's more passive. They have a talking glow dice, tactile boards, sound balls. They have a walk-run fitness kit, 30 love tennis kit. And this is, again, for every people with visual impairments. And a jump rope to fitness kit. They have a new jump rope program system there that you don't have a jump rope. You just had what I could see is two things you hold in your hand, and you move it. And you don't have, you jump, but you don't have to worry about tripping on the rope, which I thought, ooh, that's cool. A good idea. That's something new. I didn't see it in the catalog, so I didn't mention it in it. Again, you can access that equipment through the American, for consumers who are, that you work with that are signed up with the American Printing House for the Blind Quota Account through MCB. Anybody who's legally blind that's in a day program, I think those are the two requirements. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. Should be registered with the Commission for the Blind. We have about 800 people that are registered through the Commonwealth. So there's a lot of people, but I'm sure there's other people who are missing because people don't know about that resource. And it's free. It's free resource. It's free equipment, not just for recreational, but for day programs and whatnot. It's originally geared towards children in school systems. They really are trying to upgrade their things for adults and for individuals with multiple disabilities and vision loss. So they are changing their equipment and adding more towards this population. So when you first look at the brochure, you go, oh, this is really not appropriate for my consumers. It may not, but they do have a lot of other stuff. You have to kind of look a little further in and then be very creative. I know Georgia from the Certified Orientation Mobility Specialist work for DDS, she has done a lot of adaptive, and Maureen Coyle have done a lot of adaptive stuff with APH materials and making it very functional for adults. So I guess one of our questions we talked about was how can you improve access to active recreational activities for your consumers? That's one of our questions to you guys. And if people have suggestions or ideas, we would love to hear them. Anything? Yeah, we can do that. Yes. Yes.
Let it go viral.
Oh, let it go viral. Okay. Okay. And the other thing is to talk about next steps and think about it within your organization or your communities, how you can get more of your people that you work with doing active and more inclusive recreational opportunities for them. Hopefully we've given you some ideas of different ways. Marie, among her work stuff, she's also on the board for Ski for Light, and I participate as a guide a lot of times in those activities. Marie, again, Zealand Hut, she got all the way up to Zealand Hut. I was with a group. I was in the slow group. We did not get up to Zealand Hut. We had to turn around halfway because we were running out of daylight. Again, everybody had a good time. We didn't have to finish the hike. We still had a really, really good time.
And again, I'd just like to add one other thing in terms of next steps, because every time I go to these conferences, I think about, okay, I learned so much great information today. I met such wonderful people. And then what happens after that? So, I really want to reiterate that if you need assistance with resources, have people in the day programs that you work with or in shared living or in the, different homes that people live in and families, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're here. There's a lot. I also work for Mass Advocates Standing Strong, as I said, and the Epilepsy Foundation. And those two organizations are willing and able to accommodate people. Mass Advocates has monthly self-advocacy meetings where we could all get together and come and speak to some of the individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And they are great advocates. So I know A lot of these people would be really interested in reaching out. And also, I, as being on the board of Perkins Alumni, if any of you are affiliated with any of the students who are at Perkins, we'd love to see them at alumni events. Our last alumni event was walking around the pond. Everybody got out there and did it. We had a walk on the Braille Trail. People got out there and did it because we feel like it's really important for people to get out. So, and it's a great way to make new friends and see people that they know. And we really welcome people, you know, to participate as well.
Any questions? Thank you all for coming.